Hello, and welcome back to our True Tales from Harrods podcast. My name is Viv McSweeney, Head of Employee Experience and Internal Comms, and I am back with more True Tales from Harrods. But I am super sad today because this is going to be my last podcast with Harrods as I leave Harrods at the end of this month with some wonderful memories, a heart full of love for the brand, the business, and most of all, the people. I am super happy, though, that my last podcast is with one of my favourite people in Harrods, my friend, the legendary Mr. Gordon Brooker. Gordy, or Mr. G, as many of our new joiners are introduced to him. Now, Gordy has a really super important role at Harrods. He works in our L&D team, and he's the person that welcomes all our new joiners to Harrods on their very first day. He also gives the best store tours in the business because of his warm, charming personality and his encyclopedic knowledge of all things Harrods.
Oh, it's too much on Philippe already. Sorry. It's too much.
So, my friend, Mr. G, don't tear up just yet.
No, I'll try not to.
It's a joy to have us with you this morning. How are you today, my friend?
Oh, really good. Thank you, Viv. Yeah, the sun is shining. The sun is shining in my heart more than normal. The vitamin D does us all well, doesn't it? And I've been so looking forward to doing this with you. So thank you so much for having me.
Oh,
can't wait.
I'm so happy. I was saying to my husband yesterday, I can't wait for the morning.
Oh,
I'm going to have so much
heart.
Fun with my Gordy.
Bless you.
Now, Mr. G, can we start with a little bit about you, how you ended up at Harrods, and just give us a bit of an overview of your current role, if you will.
Yeah, sure. So I live with my other half, Lee, in Surrey.
Mm-hmm.
We've been together now for 16 years. For him, I think it feels like a lot longer. He often says 36 years, but that's just the way it is. We've got two cats who are literally my babies. They're 15 years old, and yeah, they mean everything to me.
Names, Gordy?
Bruiser and Minx.
Bruiser
yes.
and Minx.
Bruiser
nice.
And Minx.
Nice.
Yeah, they're my babies. And since joining Harrods in 2014, I've been so lucky to do quite some varied roles. So I started off as a concessions manager
mm-hmm.
for a brand called Cath Kidston. You might have heard of them.
I have indeed.
Yeah, they're not on the high street anymore, unfortunately, but they were a wonderful brand to work for. And I remember vividly one Friday afternoon, it's when my life changed, one of them life-changing moments, my area manager, Agnieszka, gave me a call. And I picked the phone up and she said, Godinski, because that's what she called me. She still calls me Godinski. I go with it. I think it's lovely. She said, Godinski, I've got a challenge for you. So I said, okay, Agnieszka, what is this? She said, Harrods, have a good weekend. Put the phone down. So I thought, I want a bit of that. I want the green. I want the gold. I want the flower you wear. So on the Monday, I rang her. I said, Agnieszka, yes. So she said, good, let's do it. And it really did change my life because from that moment, I was store approved and went through some very nerve-wracking interviews. And I become a concessions manager in Harrods. And the moment my feet touched that marble shop floor, I fell in love with Harrods. I started collecting memorabilia of Harrods. I started studying the history of Harrods. I become a self-confessed Harrods geek, I've got to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping one day to write a book about Harrods, but that's for another day sort of thing. But yeah, I really got into it. And in that job role, I got so involved that I got to admit, I think Agnieszka saw it as well. I think I was working more for Harrods than I was Cath Kidston.
Yeah.
Because after a couple of years, an opportunity came up in Cath Kidston and I favoured the Harrods way more. So I'd done some networking and to cut a long story short, I become a sales manager of Harrods directly in homewares. And I thought, this is it now. No one can take me out. I'm now where I belong kind of thing. So that was another key moment. Really loved my time in homewares as that sales manager opportunity. And then about 4 years ago, which is about 2.5 years into that role, Ian Dello, one of our lovely directors, gave me a call and he said, Mr. G, there's an opportunity come up at the moment in L&D and we know you're very passionate about that kind of thing. And would you be interested in going into it for a few months and coming back afterwards? So I said, Ian, I'll do anything. I'll try anything. And that was due to end about four Christmases ago. And then a vacancy came up in HR L&D and I took it and I got it. And here I am. Oh, don't clap that, Viv, please. Calm yourself down, please. But but hopefully from that, you can tell that, I've got such a passion for Harrods, honestly, from that moment that I remember seeing Harrods from the tube entrance as I come up the steps and saw it to the right, which I hadn't seen for a few months on that initial interview. A bit longer than actually, a few years. And I remember my heart missing a few beats, thinking, I could be in that building.
Mm.
you know, and it was just a real, yeah.
I remember now we struggle to get you out of it.
Honestly, days off, holidays, I'm just here all the time.
Do you know what I remember Abby saying to Abby, who is our lovely HR director, when I first joined Harrods, it must have been in my first year or so, she's saying to me, have you not met Gordy yet? And I was like, no, I haven't. Who is this Gordy person? And she's like, you are in for a treat. And I sure was, Mr.
Oh,
G.
Oh, you're so kind.
And
thank
that treat
you.
Just gets sweeter and sweeter the years carry on.
I've got such a wonderful role. I was talking to Sarah Andrews recently and she said, we really can't give you a job role name because it's so varied.
Yeah.
Apart from doing the L&D work, so doing the inductions and training for retail. I also do, as you mentioned, the store tours. And apart from the colleague tours that I do, which I love,
yeah.
I get the honour of doing our VIPs, our guests from wherever they've been invited from. I do family tours as well, which often have a very sad story behind them, which is why I've been invited in.
Yeah.
And I sometimes think to myself afterwards, I've got my hair stand back on my neck just about to say this, but yeah. It's just such an honour and I just don't want it ever to end.
No. So what does Mr. G, a self-confessed Harrods geek and L&D extraordinaire, want to be when they're a child? What were your aspirations, hopes and dreams when you were a little Mr. G?
A mini G.
Master G.
Master G.
Sounds like a rapper.
It does, actually. I might go for that. Initially, from an early age, I wanted to become a primary school teacher.
Nice.
And that was really at the back of my mind from an early age. But I also had it in my head that I wanted to work in a shop. Like many kids, I had a little mini cash register and a sort of set up shop in my dining room. And my first ever Lego model creation, which I was very proud of, was my own department store called BDS, Brooker's Department Stores, of course. And my favourite toy accompanied with that was a green man. So it was really sort of destined to be, really,
right,
wasn't
in the
it?
The stars, my friend.
Oh, it really, really was. So, yeah, some of my earliest memories of... yeah, so I think it was there.
And what was your first ever job?
Well, from the age of 15, 16, I got a sassy job. It was when I was 15. And there was a vacancy for a Saturday boy in my local kitchen appliances shop. So I went in there, all young and timid, and said, excuse me, mister, have you got a job? As you do at that age. 21 I was. No, sorry, I was only joking. 15. And they took me on. And it was that point, really, that I was probably planning to go to college and do the primary school.
Route,
that's it. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. But I stayed there. I stayed there for 18 years. So I was a Saturday boy, which progressed to a sales associate. I was then a branch manager. And then I was a buyer. And I did all sorts of things. And it gave me such... good grounding for retail. It really, really did. It gave me lots of good experiences. I could still, to be honest with you, sell you a hot point wash machine now.
Yeah.
I remember my Spiracleans, my Aquarius wash systems. I wish I could lose that out of my mind to make room for stuff I need to know and can't remember now. But
and quite
I really
randomly,
could.
You drew me a washing machine the other month, didn't you?
Because I did.
This sounds very bizarre, but my son, who is on the autistic spectrum and his special interest is appliances and washing machines, and he was... obviously someone that shares your love of appliances, and you very kindly drew him a hot point washing machine,
I'm
which
not
is quite
to you,
a place in the house.
There's not many of us
no.
out there, so to find someone else was quite an honour. So yeah, I was quite happy to draw him a washing machine, bless his heart. Yeah, it really did give him that grounding.
Yeah.
And I remember my first ever item I sold was a Hoover upright vacuum cleaner. And I remember going home that night and saying to Mum and Dad, I've sold my first item. And Mum and Dad said, what was it? A Hoover upright. You know, I was so excited. I really was. I've still got, I know it sounds really sad, my first receipt that I hand wrote in those days for that vacuum cleaner with
Happy
the customer's
days.
Details on GDPR. I got actually
yeah.
got that away in a drawer.
Good.
But
it was 1984.
It certainly was. It certainly was. And I faxed it as well. Yeah, it really is fond memories. I've not thought about that for a little while, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Really nice.
And Gordy, you are someone that has this exuberance for life and this energy that you bring to every single morning. Like, what gets you out of bed in the day? What gives you that fire in your belly for the day to come?
This is going to sound really corny, but I know in life you should work to live, but I don't. I do it the opposite way around. I consider this a hobby and not a job. That I come to work every day. You know, I'm so lucky to have that. So I really do live to work. And a few weeks ago, I was a little bit poorly. And when my family members knew and was texting me, and she put in a text message, I bet you can't wait to get back to your happy place. That just says it all, really, doesn't it?
It really does.
You know, my family know that my place of being is definitely at Harrods, yeah.
You have a very special relationship with your family as well, though, don't you? Your mother,
really,
dad,
do.
You talk about all the time very fondly, which makes my heart glow.
Oh, bless you.
Tell us something, Gordy, that not many people would know about you.
That's a good question. I would say... Actually, I can shout out this one now, can't I? I didn't tell many people at the time. But last year, I passed my CIPD qualification in HR, learning and development. Yeah, I achieved a distinction, actually. Please don't bow. Viv, please, stop. Stop curtsying. Hold yourself back. I'm really, really proud of that. It was over 2 years hard work because it happened in the middle of COVID as well. So I had to pause for a little while. But it really made me feel credible that it wasn't just the experience that I gained to get the job in learning development. It meant that I had a qualification. So, yeah, really proud of that one, actually.
Oh, you should be, rightly so. Is there something or someone that's made you smile recently?
Yes, there is. So I think you probably know, Viv, that I'm a royalist.
Yes, I do know this.
I really do love the royal family. And so the Jubilee period that's just happened has kept me excited day on day. And I asked Abby if I could bring some bunting in to decorate the HR office, of which she said, of course you can, you know, fill your boots. So I did. So I hang lots of bunting up in the office. And a couple of days later, knowing I was doing that, she said, I've got a little present for you. So I said, oh, okay, that's nice. And I come in one morning and on my desk, she'd left me and the team bunting, which had Her Majesty on it with different colour hats. And it just made my day. You know, the fact that she remembered and she thought of me and thought of us all for the office and everything. And I hung that with pride. Aww. And it made many a happy moment with someone coming in saying, I think I like the purple one best. Which one do you like? Oh, definitely the green. Very Harrods. So, that made a nice conversation. It just made the Jubilee even more special.
Lovely. And you alluded earlier to the role you have and the part you've played with our customers, so taking them on store tours, making their experience that bit more special and in alignment with everything people expect of Harrods. What's your, I know you must have tons, but what's your favourite customer story, Gigi?
It's one I heard recently, actually. It's a bit of a sad one, but I really think it does personify our values, and it just gives more gravitas to that anything is possible. And that is a lady came into the gift shop at Christmas just gone, and she'd said that one of her close friends had sadly lost her baby in 2014, and this year was a real sad time for her. So she said, I'm looking for a bear, the Harrods bear with 2014 written on it. So of course those things are collectible. By October they've sold out. They've gone. And I've looked on eBay and there are some, but they're like £500, £600. So is there anything you can do? So apparently the gift shop team searched the whole store for this 2014 bear. And can you believe in one of the corners of the stock rooms that had missed, I don't know how many stock takes, it was sitting there in its cellophane, this 2014 bear. And I wasn't there when they handed this bear over to the customer, but I can only imagine how special that would have been that Christmas for that customer.
Oh, that's a lovely story. And clearly there are loads of these objects that are synonymous with Harrods. And I know you are a great collector of these objects items from our history and our archive. So I would love to know, with your extensive collection, Mr. G, what is your favourite item?
It is very extensive now. I've got to say that I've got an office the size of a wardrobe now in the HR on the HR floor in Crown Court, and I'm now up against Sebastian. So
wonderful! Sebastian from our archive.
Oh, wonderful, Sebastian! Yeah, who if we know we're going for something on eBay, we have to tell each other because we're competing against each other and putting the price up. We've done that quite a few times. But probably one of my favourite items, not only because it is my favourite item, but it was how it came to me. So I inducted some time ago lovely Nick, who is our head chef in Gordon Ramsay Burger Bar. Lovely, lovely lady. And I took her on a store tour and she got to know that I really love my Harrods items. And a couple of weeks later, she gave me a call and she said, Mr. G, come and meet me on the shop floor. I've got something for you. So I said, okay, Nick, yeah, I'm gonna come across and see you. Wonderful. So I come across and God bless her, she presented this box to me. I've got it here to show you, actually, if you don't mind.
No.
She presented this box to me and said, look, it's nothing. You've probably got it already, but have a look and see if you like it or not. I won't be offended if you don't like it. I said, oh, what have you done? So let me just show you.
Dramatic rustle.
Absolutely. Nice guy. Sorry, bad joke. and there presented to me was this beautiful mug from 1911.
Wow!
Of the coronation of King George V. And it's really, really important because it also signifies my favourite restaurant in Harrods, which is the Georgian restaurant,
yeah.
Which was named after King George V in his honour. And it was just the fact that she thought of me and she bought it for me.
That's
and
amazing.
It's very, very delicate, but I absolutely love it.
Oh, love the
China.
Chips in it.
I know, I love the chips too. It's got such...
It's amazing, Gigi.
I love it.
What a lovely thing for Nick to do. Shout
really
out to you,
is.
Nick, if you're listening.
Thank you, Nick. I treasure this, honestly. I'll show everybody as well. So thank you so much. So yes, that's my favourite item.
Thank you, Gordy. So we've talked about your very, very important role of welcoming all our new joiners into Harrods, and it must have been lovely to start doing those face-to-face again.
When we got that call to say we're closing down and, you'd be working from home, it was a tough time. It really was.
It really was, and great to see some semblance of normality returning now.
Absolutely.
What advice do you give new people joining Harrods, Gordy?
I always say get as know as many people as possible and network as much as possible. If an opportunity comes up, grab it. Grab it with both hands. I'm going to sound really like I'm bragging now, but I'm proud of this one, that back in 2015, I was the first ever concessions manager to do a secondment. So lovely Mark Emery, who was the head of L&D there, approved it. I was working for Kath Kiston at the time, and my area manager, lovely Agnieszka, who means the world to me, I still keep in touch with her, I asked her and I said, look, is there any way that I could do a secondment with Harrods? And she said, quite honestly, she said, look, I can't pay you to work for Harrods, but if you want to fix your rotor for 6 months and then work 6 days a week to work your day off with them, I'm happy to do it.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah, so it wasn't quite 6 months. I think it was 4 to 5 months. But anyway, it was a long drag, and it did take it out of me. But I loved every moment, and that was my chance of delivering the Harrods welcome. So that was back in 2015. So in the few years back when the opportunity came up in L&D, I had that in my armour, if you like, to say, look, I've done it before.
Yeah,
I have done this. Yeah. So that was something that came up, and I grabbed that. So that would be my advice. Yeah, network, get to know people, and enjoy it.
Yeah. What's the question you're always asked?
this always comes up. Yeah. How do I find the star food court from here?
Yeah. And what's the most important information that you feel you share with new joiners?
Definitely to live and breathe our wonderful five values.
Oh, I'm so happy you said that, Gordy.
that you brought to Harrods with you. Bring them alive in everything you do, through your conduct, your body language, in every interaction, whether it's a colleague or a customer, and embrace them. Because if you're living those five values, you are Harrods, and you're delivering anything.
Yeah,
is possible.
Making anything possible.
Yeah, and I'm not just saying that because I'm being interviewed here, but I mean it. And if you can do that naturally, you're a Harrodian. You've done it, haven't you? Yeah, you're in the right place.
Thank you, Gordy. What's your favourite part of the store?
I've mentioned it already, and this is such an easy question to answer. It's definitely, and I'm going to be a rebel and call it the Georgian restaurant.
Sarah Andrews does the same, so you're in good company.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I know it's the Harrods Tea Rooms, but I didn't agree with that change. It will always be the Georgian restaurant. And it's such a stunning space. Since 1911, as I said, it was there to celebrate King George V's coronation. And it's never changed. When I walk in there with the new starters on a store tour and their faces, and someone recently said to me, is this a wedding venue? And I go, no, it's just our department. It's just a restaurant. They go, surely someone's about to get married. No, you know, and to get that, and customers say the same thing, and I treasure that space.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's a lovely space. I love it up there. Last question for you. Who makes, or what, makes you laugh out loud? And you have, like, the best laugh in the business.
That's a really easy question to answer, actually. It's going to be one of my family members who we've already mentioned, actually, Claire, Auntie Claire, or AC, as she's known to us all by. We've got the exact same sense of humour. And whether we're talking on the phone or we're texting, we always end up in hysterics. You know, we just treat life as you've got to have some fun, you know, don't take life too seriously. And she's only a few years older than me, so she is like a sister to me. And all I can say is God bless that woman, honestly.
Oh,
God bless her.
Lovely. So this is my favourite part of the podcast where we spring a little game on
you. Oh, okay.
But because it's my last podcast, I want to do two games. So we're going to start with the first game. As you know, because you talk about it all the time, Gordy, in induction, our employer brand is Uniquely You Together Harrods. And one of the unique things that I have loved to find out about you is something that we share, which is that you are a big fan of the vintage British comedy, Fawlty Towers, and all things vintage comedy. So today I welcome you. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Fawlty Towers, it's a comedy that I was introduced to by my father back in the 1980s. So it reminds me of fond memories renting Fawlty Towers videos from the BP video library that my dad used to have because he worked for BP. So we're going to do a special Fawlty Towers edition. So you need to tell me the line or the word that comes next.
Oh, wow. Go on then.
Does this make sense? Good to go. Okay. So, in one of my favourite episodes, The Psychiatrist, Basil is asking Sybil how old she thinks Dr. Abbott is. Having offered...
Sorry, I'm laughing at this already.
having offered 48, 50 and been met with a scoff by Basil, Sybil replies...
I don't know, Basil. Maybe she's 12.
Absolutely perfect. I really don't know, Basil. Perhaps she's 12.
Oh...
Now, Basil is struggling to get through to the speaking clock, so he calls the operator to complain, and he says, it's been engaged for 10 minutes. How is this possible?
I mean, I don't know. It's not as if my wife's on the other line.
Good. Yes, good. My wife isn't talking to it.
Oh, I love it. It's such a good game.
In the episode, Basil the Rat, or just the Rat, Basil says... I'll put an ad in the papers. Wanted. Kind home for enormous savage rodent. Answers to the name of...
Sybil.
Very good. another interchange with Basil and Sybil. Can't we get you on Mastermind, Sybil? Next contestant, Sybil Fawlty from Torquay. Specialist subject...
The blimmin' obvious.
In The Gourmet Night, which is the episode I know the least because it always used to run the video that I had in the old VHS days. In The Gourmet Night, a guest asked Basil what they should do if they don't like duck. And Basil says, well, if you don't like duck...
You're rather stuck.
Very good. Oh. And finally, in my very favourite episode, The Builders, which me and my sister growing up used to recite when we were washing and drying up together on a Sunday, Mr. O'Reilly tries to console Basil by saying, just remember, Mr. Fawlty, there's always someone worse off than yourself. And Basil says, really, I'd love to meet them. I could...
Really do have a laugh right
very
now.
Very good.
just got that one in time, didn't I?
Very good. I saw the wheels turning. Thank you for sharing that and indulging
thank you.
Me.
What a great game. Thank you.
What a great game.
I'll be over to yours for Christmas.
I would love that. So we are going to do a Harrods-related game now.
Okay.
So this is the second game. And we've named this the Green and Gold Test. And it sounds very serious, but it is fun. So we stalked your Instagram. We love your interest in Harrods history. But today we're going to test it with the most random questions we can find. So where was Charles Henry Harrod born? Now, we're looking for a county, and a bonus point is available if you know the year, Gordon.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to be a bit rusty on this for some reason. I'm going to say 1800s, and I want to say the West Country, but that might be wrong.
Okay, well, you're so close on the date, but wrong on the county.
Okay.
The county is Essex.
Okay. Yeah, wow. So, okay, I didn't know that.
Proximate to London, I guess. And the year was 1799.
Oh.
So you're 1 year out, my friend.
Damn. Okay.
Okay, question two. Our store's motto is Omnia Omnibus Ubique. I don't know how you pronounce that.
I think it was very good, actually.
I hope my Latin hasn't let me down. My mum would be able to do it much better than me. So it is a Latin phrase. What does it translate to?
All things for anyone, anywhere.
Yes. Thank you. Well done. In what year, and I actually knew the answer to this one, in what year was our first annual Christmas bear introduced and what was his name?
1986.
Yep.
Snowy.
Well done.
Oh.
With a little red scarf.
Yeah, so cute.
Yeah.
And worth a lot of money, I will add there.
Yeah. Back in 1982, on the second floor, we had a department known as the Tree Trim Department. Now, in 1985, it became the Christmas Decorations Department. And in 1999, it was finally named what?
Christmas World?
Yeah, very good. And we are the home.
I'm going really clammy here. Is that usual?
Well, you're under the spotlight, aren't
you,
metaphorically?
Yeah, I am actually. You're true, yeah.
And physically.
Yeah.
We are the home, as not many people know unless they work at Harrods, we were the home of Britain's first escalator in 1898.
It certainly was.
But it wasn't called an escalator then, Gordy. What was it called?
It was called a moving staircase.
Very good, my friend. You've almost had a full house there. So that very sadly brings us to the end of this season of the True Tales from Harrods podcast, with a very heavy heart for me.
I've got to ask you to say something for me, actually, because whenever I end a session or an induction or whatever it looks like, I have to make it a little bit cheesy. It's the way I am. I think people expect it. So towards the end, get ready, because I need you to shout out the word way for me. Is that going to be okay in a minute?
Yep, sure.
Okay, fine. Okay, go with it. You look confused, but go with it.
Doesn't take much. Oh, sorry.
I don't want to take over. You're interviewing me.
I'm just bringing us to a close, really, my G, because that does bring us to the end of this first season of the True Tales from Harrods podcast. So season two, we'll be back with a new host soon. It's time for me personally to wish farewell to Harrods, but I will take a special piece of Harrods with me wherever I go. And clearly I'll be back shopping regularly.
You better
with my daughter if she has anything to do with it. But meantime, thank you for listening. Big love from me. And
thank
Gordy,
you so
do you want
much.
To sing us out? Or?
Well, the word I need shouted back at me is the word way, and from the crew in the room as well, when I say it will always be a great day when you've done it the Harrods
way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gordy.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of the day.
Oh, bless
friend.
You. Really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Good. So that brings us to the end of this season of True Tales from Harrods podcast. It has been a blast. So many wonderful stories, laughs, and terrible games. A huge thank you to the lovely Gordy for sharing so much insight into his Harrods story and just making us laugh, really. And I also want to say a big thank you to the lovely Tom, our producer, and my precious Raj Bassi, who's been responsible for a lot of fun and games we've done along the way throughout our podcast. If you haven't already, please do go back and discover previous episodes and do subscribe if you'd like to receive more episodes as soon as they become available. Stay tuned for our next season in September. Thank you so much for listening. Big love, as always, from me, Viv.